This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So I'm meeting this girl and, like, we're having a nice conversation. And it's very nice. And then I say, like, oh, I didn't get your name. And she says, oh, I'm Blake Bell. And then I'm like, what? That's not a name. Those are two things. And she says, no, that's just my name. And she had never heard of either of those individual things. I had to explain both concepts to her, and imagine how embarrassing to find out that all along.
But was she lying?
I hate
tricksters, and I feel like a lot of, you know.
And acting especially, it's like I'm taking something out into the real world, this little idea I have that someone who's named after two things.
Well, they're being a trickster, mm-hmm. and they're doing this trick thing where they're playing this character. I don't know mm-hmm. if it's for, you know, their SNL reel or something, but mm-hmm. they're doing these trickster things because those is things.
They're just things. And she's acting like it's
and
a
one
person.
One of them's big and one of them's small, so mm-hmm. I can see that being a funny SNL character where it's like I'm a lake and now I'm a bell, and you just spread out when you're a lake and pretend to have like a fish in you.
Yeah.
Then you get really tiny and you make a little
and
small
there's a
noise.
A noise component to that too. Yeah.
Which they love on that show. So it's just and how did you meet this girl? What is she? She's an actress?
She was, you know, when you're like waiting to get on the chairlift.
Yeah.
There's the person who's like pulling the lever and stuff for the chairlift. And she.
Will you shred the mountain?
I definitely don't want to get to start this
either.
Conversation again.
I don't either.
All right. It sounds like
you
do.
That's not why I brought it up. I just didn't know you went to the mountain this weekend.
Fine. What up, what up? Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet linebacker hallways of this industry we call showbiz. Big week. You guys have been reading a lot about this LeBron thing. It is actually, it's a huge relief to be able to discuss it. To be able to, you know, it's just been.
As advice, I mean, this is a show where we give advice to people.
Yeah.
Never work with athletes.
Yes.
Because it's so frustrating mm-hmm. and they always have their way they want to do things and they don't see the big picture and the
yes.
sort of art of it all.
And basketball especially, there's this immediate gratification sensibility. It comes from basketball. You need to just be getting points all the time. Points, 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 points.
Points, points, points.
Which is why we love soccer, which is because it's the, you know, the ballet aspect of
it.
And it's not just like as Americans, we just need this, like a trophy every time, you know, we put something into something else.
I love soccer, best sport in the world. But to all the people, too, who have said, like, oh, it's boring, people don't score points.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you really had to eat your words during that one blowout that happened last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one incredibly lopsided game that happened?
Yes.
That really taught you a lesson about saying the sport's boring. Mm-hmm. There's one game where one team scored a bunch of points and fucking won by 7 goals.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't that exciting? Because you keep saying it's boring.
I think that's who they were sort of talking to when they did that game. Because,
with their kicks?
Mm-hmm, because they're saying, like, well, is this what you wanted?
Yeah,
every time they do a kick, it's like, do you like this?
Every time I do a kick, I kick it in the net, you know? And so, because a lot of people had been saying it's boring, which I don't get.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, because there's not enough goals? Well, what if one team scored a ton
of goals?
Wouldn't that be exciting?
Right.
Because then the game's over.
Mm-hmm. But everyone said they were sorry, and I think that was a good resolution. The LeBron thing, you know, when we said do the show and go to Miami four years ago or
mm-hmm.
whatever that was. You would not believe the pushback from this guy saying, like, well, why would I do, you know, this is where I live.
It's literally the second he gets the pages and
yes.
he's just like is mm-hmm. flipping to the end. He's not looking at the whole like build up and the rest of what we have going on for him afterwards.
Yes.
He just goes like, well, this part people aren't going to like my character when he goes to Miami and right. he does the whole thing, you know, and this line, I look like such an asshole mm-hmm. taking my talents to South Beach. Mm-hmm.
Counting the championships and stuff like that. It's not yes, really something a normal
which
person
I thought do. Was, it's like, well, that's going to make it so powerful
yes.
later. And he's like, later what? I'm like, oh, you didn't even finish reading it.
And he wants to know the very, very end. He's asking all the way through, like, how does this turn out? Mm-hmm. And we're saying, like, well, are you going to tell people?
Well, when we wanted him to lose the championship this past year and yes. just get fucking waxed by the Spurs,
mm-hmm.
he's, like, writing, like, well, wouldn't my character want to make more basket shots?
And he's like, he doesn't see it as part of the larger arc about, yeah. like, that's the, go watch, like, Barton mm-hmm. Fink or something.
I really
you
feel
know?
Like my character would do a big dunk here. And mm. it's like, okay, but we've seen that already.
Yeah. You know, and the next time we do it, it's not, you know, it's not going to be any better. It's going to be all the same.
Well, it's just like, it's a more, yes, it's a more interesting, he just doesn't understand movie arcs, mm-hmm. is you have to lose some stuff to get some stuff back, and yeah. now it's the big homecoming, the hero, and people are loving this part of the movie, and mm-hmm. the sort of sports world, you know, is yeah. totally bought it hook, line, and sinker, and now he's arguing because we've written this really ugly leg injury into...
Yeah.
Into the next few scenes, and he doesn't want to do it, and it's just like, I don't know. I'm starting to wonder if he it says was a mistake to ever get involved.
Right. He says, well, it's going to hurt. Movies hurts.
Yes. Movies hurts. Anyway, for anyone who's a basketball head, that's a nice little peek behind the curtain, and... We thank you for watching. We've gotten a lot of great feedback mm-hmm. all week.
And wait till you see what happens with this Melo thing. If you think the...
Yes,
think
we have Bill this whole B story with Melo that yeah. we've been sort of nursing for a while. And
keep an eye on Lala is all I have to say about the Melo thing.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, Lala, has just sort of been operating the background for a little while, but you know, she has her, you know, when you have someone like her who's involved in a project like this, yeah. you want to give her like something meaty to really.
Well, she's our Megan Draper,
yes.
You know, where yes. it's you let her do some stuff in the background, but we are ultimately going to drive a big story out of her
yes.
and have her, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, in the case of Megan Draper, she's going to get murdered by Charles Manson, but it's, you know, it's not a one-to-one
right.
comparison, but it's going to be interesting when she takes center stage.
Yes. We want to do a quick we're going to get into our guest Jason Nash is our guest very shortly. But we want to do a quick there's a segment we do called Ant Wrong. Doesn't necessarily apply in this case. We'll get into it in a little more detail, but we appreciate when everyone rates us on iTunes.
We love feedback,
nice.
And it makes yeah. us better. I mean, the good feedback is great.
Mm-hmm.
The bad feedback, if anybody actually had a good point to make, would
be
make
so
us
nice.
Even better.
We would love to get some feedback that actually offered something constructive that we could improve on.
That would be wonderful.
And someone who understands what they're listening to.
And it just
like
is
that. That
so
would actually be a
unfortunate
dream.
That a lot of the people with negative feedback are also some of our stupidest fans who – really don't mm-hmm. fucking get shit about shit.
And so we want to read. We want to do the segment, and we'll read. What is our most recent review from a user named Mr. British Petroleum, which I actually do not think is that cool or funny to use that as your name to represent yourself as being a part of BP, which makes animals sick. I think is disgusting. Just and, for starters.
Well, if you
and
know
so
any,
that's the place
yeah,
that we're
yeah,
coming
yes.
from.
We're coming from, it's like this guy doesn't have a good sense of humor. And isn't
yes.
it funny that our stupidest fans are the negative ones
mm-hmm.
and that they have the worst taste? And this is in poor taste. And if you know anything about peak oil, Hayes.
Yeah.
Engineer Cody.
Yeah.
Do you know about peak oil?
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Explain peak oil to our listeners.
Steps for successful passing. Now that you know how dangerous passing can be, what steps can you take to pass safely and successfully? For the first step, of course, is to know that passing is legal. After that answer is questioned affirmatively, here are some steps to remember. Always look around for any hazards in the area. If anyone is trying to pass you, is there enough room to execute the pass?
No, Cody.
Cody's studying for his license exam.
The head turns for a reason.
Cody. Okay. This is not... So you're learning to drive right now?
You're learning to drive while you're supposed to be listening for the show for any mistakes that happen?
Remember, your head turns for a reason. Turn and look over.
Cody, stop it. Don't do that again.
You can't just be learning to drive. And I think we said that, you know, we're very excited for you. I'm now worried that that has encouraged you to the degree that you think you can just be learning to drive all the time. And so I'll say this. This is how I honestly feel about it, Cody. It's not going to happen. Okay? These are harsh words. You're never going to learn.
Freeways are safer than city streets or open highways because there are fewer
factors to interfere. Don't do it again. Stop it. Now, did you hear, Hayes? It's not going to happen. So give it up. Close the book and give it up because you're just setting yourself up for heartbreak. Find a new interest. You might be able to figure out. You're not going to figure out how to work a car. It's a big, complicated machine.
Yeah.
Don't interrupt me again.
I would.
Now we got you that yo-yo toy. And I think that you might be able to learn how to do something like that.
I would say
that's something worth putting your time into because give it a year or two, you might figure that out.
The concept stay in your lane actually is very fitting for the situation, but unfortunately it's not something that I could say to you because it would just be like I was speaking an alien language.
It's showing card tricks to a dog. You know what I mean? That's what I feel like I'm doing when I explain stuff to you.
Let's get back to the review. It's Mr. British Petroleum, 1 star. The subject line is, what's worse than 2 Hollywood douchebags? 2 guys pretending to be Hollywood douchebags. The idea that Hollywood insiders can be annoying is an idea almost as old as Hollywood itself. Yet these two have dedicated hours and hours to the shtick of acting horribly to others and their guests. If their comedic personalities were more fleshed out, a la Colbert, then maybe this might be approaching something interesting. But as it is, the incredibly thin premise is torture to listen to. So we would say ant wrong in this situation.
Normally we go, ant wrong, you don't but it's get it. This is a little more complicated than that.
It's coming from such a place of confusion and misunderstanding that it's almost – the ant is like an
It's a question. It's ant
dot,
wrong.
Dot, question mark.
Wrong. And here's why. And I sympathize with this person because I see exactly what happened. Exactly what happened, Hayes. Now, we talk about movies on the show.
And the person who's listening to the show is obviously
they go in there, Hollywood movies, they get that. They have a very bare bones understanding of what movies is. And movies is people's pretending to be other people.
Yes.
I see Johnny Depp here. His soul and brain lives in a computer. Johnny Depp's over here, and he is a pirate, and he's just such a mean pirate.
Yes.
And here when I'm watching Nick of Time, and he's, you know, got sort of a clock on him to save his kid or something. And it's always the same guy, but he's pretending, isn't he?
Yes. And it seems like this person knows something about movies and wants to learn more. Is familiar with the idea of people pretending to be something else for movies.
Yes.
And so they listen to this show and they think, well, this must be movies too.
Mm-hmm.
And so this concept of pretending to be characters and things like that is applied to basically everything in this person's life.
Well, anything related to movies in any way, they go, okay, so the only thing I actually know, literally, the only thing is movies has pretending. And so they think this podcast, these guys talk movies, okay, they is pretending too.
As well.
And I don't think they totally get what they're hearing.
The effort to listen to this podcast to try and learn more is actually something I really admire, and that's part of the reason that this isn't totally wrong, because they obviously want to listen to this to get better. They know that there's something missing in their understanding, and they want to get better, but they're so stubborn.
And this is part of what is frustrating about society as a whole right now, where
the instant gratification.
And just that initial instinct to go, I'm confused, I don't understand this, so I'm mad.
Yes.
No, you don't have to be mad. You can't learn from a place of madness. You can only learn from being open. And so don't close off British Petroleum, man, mm-hmm. when as soon as you hear something that is confusing to you, ask your dad or a friend or ask a teacher that you know, what's really going on with the podcast? Because you didn't fucking get it, but there might be somebody in your life who's got half a fucking brain
in
their
head.
And I
will say some words of encouragement for Mr. British Petroleum. You know, it's not all bad. I'm looking a little deeper into this profile. This is your first iTunes review. As you write more, it's going to get a lot easier. Mm-hmm. The first one is always, you know, you can really get out there and just eat shit.
I'm so glad that when I did my first iTunes review as a teen, that the internet wasn't the way it is now, where everything's just out there for people.
Forever.
Because I don't think that I really crushed it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't quite so confused. I did know how movies is, and I
or the difference between
was
movies.
A very funny, cool writer. So that helped. Like that kind of got me over the hump. Uh-huh. But I know that it's been leaps and bounds since then. I'm so much better at leaving them, and I think Mr. British Petroleum, you will improve. Mm-hmm. You really will. You have to. This is the worst thing I've ever seen, so there's no way it gets worse.
Mm-hmm. We have a great guest today. Jason Nash is here. He's a comedian and now recently
comedian cum filmmaker.
Yes, he's a movie man, and he made this movie. Jason Nash is married, and we're so excited to dig into it with him when we come back on Hollywood Handbook.
I turn back to the bartender. Recognize you.
He goes, nah, man, you got the wrong guy. It's not me.
Yeah. And I go, I don't got the wrong guy. You're Cisco.
Yeah.
And he just left, took off his apron and left.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because once you take that apron's off, it's over.
Oh,
they don't
let you
come back and be
well,
a bartender.
Well, it's unsanitary.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet line back hallways of this industry we call showbiz. Very exciting guest today. What up, what up? Jason Nash is here.
I'm offended. I'm a very PC person, and junk in the trunk is, it's disrespectful to me.
It is very, yeah.
No, I don't like that at all.
Well, that's why we sort of sent him out. The business and out of town.
Oh yeah, I wanted nothing more than for him to do a tasteful hit when we gave him that opportunity and said, "Write any song you want, we'll make it number one."
Mm-hmm.
And he turns around and brings in Smut.
And we kept up our part of the deal.
Oh yeah, we put it on the radio because we're not Welchers, but at the same time, you're not going to get another crack at it.
I wrote a piece for the New Yorker about Cisco. Probably like a 24 page feature about him.
A long read.
Yeah.
And just about sexism and feminism.
Mm-hmm.
And I find when I defend women, I get a lot more pussy.
Isn't that amazing how
it's
that works?
Crazy, yeah. And it's just a matter of...
It's great, so it's win-win.
And I refer to it, I call it taking the local.
Yeah.
You know? You can take the express and you can just aggressively ask for pussy. Or you can pretend you don't really want it and that you have a lot of respect for
it. And the nice thing about the local, not as many people want it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can read on the way there. You can read the New Yorker if you want.
Don't fight it.
For people who,
join
them. It's a newspaper or something for listeners who don't know.
And obviously I don't really believe that women are equal or anything like that, but...
I don't know what
it's
I believe.
It's a good brand. It's definitely a good...
These days? It's working.
It really
it's
gets you places.
For me.
It's really modern, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, your phone's going off.
It's been since the movie came out.
Yeah.
It's like everybody.
You've been getting phone calls.
Yeah, everybody. Mel Gibson called me the other day.
Oh, gosh.
And what to do.
Yeah. What does Mel say on those calls? Because I've heard phone calls of his before.
He's really into improvisers down at UCB.
Sure.
Really into a lot of the unknown ones, the ones that are really good that no one knows about.
Yeah, about to pop. Yeah, right under the surface. Yeah.
Because I don't know them, but he'll be like, do you know Bradley Corman?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, no. Mm. And he has an attitude about it.
Brad's doing some stuff.
Yeah, you haven't seen his sketch group, Fight Night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
Skimprov Milk, you haven't seen? And I go, no, don't hold it over my head like that, Mel. So she goes down there and improvises.
Oh, yeah, does Mel shows up in a he's big, one of those drop-in guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who just, hey, can I get in? Can I play with you guys tonight?
Is Sean Hayes coming? Is this are you the side guys?
He could.
Because they told me Sean, they said Sean, L from Errol says Sean Hayes. It's a Sean Hayes' podcast.
Oh, yeah, right. I see what's happening. Yeah.
Are you like, you're like side guys. You're like Muddy and the Motor Mouth, or isn't that the show?
Professor and the Coyote, but yeah.
Sean Hayes with Professor and the Coyote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we sort of do, yeah, a lot of his sound drops and stuff.
I love Sean Hayes.
And he could show up.
He might
really
be here.
Anytime.
He actually he might be in. Here. But in, yeah. you know,
until
while
he does,
we're waiting
we can just
until
keep
he gets
going,
here,
man.
Let's
just talk
keep
about
pushing
the movie.
The
we
movie.
Would love oh, to yeah, talk yeah, about yeah. the movie. It's your first yep. that you wrote and directed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Jason Nash is Married.
Jason yeah. Nash is being married. Yeah.
Can we just say, so smart.
Yeah.
Putting your name in the title. We talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
And that everything you do is an opportunity to market yourself and putting your full name
pretty much.
In the title of your movie.
Jason Nash is Jason Nash was the original mm-hmm. title, and Comedy Central said, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually pulled it back. I was like,
you much. Know what? Save something for the sequel.
Yeah.
Right.
Is a thing I say because there's so many talented but stupid writer directors out there because yes. I see like a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Mm hmm.
And yeah. it'll be called, like, that, what's the name of one of his movies? I can't even think because they don't...
There swears in the title.
Okay. So it's like, whatever, yeah. The glorious swear word or whatever.
Right, yes.
And so I'm like, well, why isn't it called the glorious Quentin Tarantino?
Right.
Or the Quentin Tarantino-ist swear word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that, to me...
Kill Bill Quentin Tarantino.
Yes.
Kill Bill
okay.
Tarantino.
Great. Mm-hmm. Now that's we're really getting good. Somewhere because yes. in the. Because
or Quentin Tarantino kills Bill and beats
yeah.
him up.
Yeah.
Kills Bill and then, yeah, and beats him up.
Mm-hmm.
Now that, to me, that's a movie name. And yes. I know what yeah. I'm watching. I know who made it. Because yeah. otherwise, I'm just like, who is these people? Is one of these is the guy that made it? Or I don't know. Yeah.
So this is what we want to do.
So many assholes in the film. I'm glad I yes. made it, but yeah. everyone I work with.
It's true.
To a man, every single person is a fucking asshole.
Almost. And there's a lot of people in it.
Well, that's, I mean, you know, I was going to say, look at the cast of your movie. You want to talk about...
It almost wasn't worth it.
Mm.
The headache of Andy Richter.
Uh-huh. Andy Daly, Paul Andy, F. Tompkins, T.J. Miller,
gross.
Mary Lynn Rice.
Some of these guys we've had in this room before.
You know, yeah. You know what Andy Richter did? So yeah. he's like, he comes to set, and it's a small set. Like, we don't have a lot of money. You know, we have like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and really, okay, we had yeah. no money. We shot for like $10,000. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. First thing out of his mouth. Guess what the first thing out of his mouth is?
What?
Where's my cokie?
My cokie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Does he mean cookie or does
cookie
he mean
Roberts?
Cocaine?
We
or?
Were like, what do you mean? We didn't. We were like,
can he not say
with
cookie?
A Coca-Cola, and he wanted Coke.
He wanted cocaine? Coke.
He yeah. wanted cocaine.
He goes, no Coke, no work.
No oh, Coke. He talks like a little baby.
No Coke, yeah. no work.
Yeah, that's
no
what he
cookie,
said.
No cookie, no worky.
So then I had to send my mother, who was a PA.
Oh, geez.
She's 72 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I had to send her to the worst part of L, you know, Skid Row, where like homeless people are. She had to go find him Coke, and we sat there. You know, time is money, and you guys have made mm-hmm. movies.
And he takes a long time to do it, in my experience,
right.
watching him.
So it's about 5 hours.
It's a long process
there.
Just watching him.
You think of
like,
doing Coke as a pretty quick yeah. drug to do, but the ritual involved for Andy Richter.
He licks
his, takes his shirt off.
He licks
his, oh, so you've seen it. Yes. You've seen him do Coke?
Takes his shirt off, licks
yeah,
his chops for a little
parties.
While.
Licks his chops, Me, sure.
You have to say grace.
Puts on a Bill Withers record, and he puts it down on a slow,
needs,
and he's waiting for
needs,
a moment.
Needs a certain CD
yeah.
cover to do it off of.
Yes.
I can't remember what it was. Do you guys remember the CD
Christopher
cover?
Cross.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's
goes,
got
yes.
to be a Christopher Cross yeah. album, and luckily I have all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we were
and
like,
he says
Chris had,
Cross, and there's a common thing where you go get the wrong
yeah,
thing.
You go get Jump, and then it's like, no, he needs
and
the
then
one
you're
for
in
sailing.
Big
yeah. yeah, it's a, I mean, it's an actual nightmare.
Yes.
He takes his shirt off and he wears it like a do-rag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he does the coke, we're like, let's go. Can we please just shoot your two scenes?
Sure, yeah, of he's course. Like, you'd think at that point.
He's like, no, I want let's talk. I want to mm-hmm. talk.
Ugh. And what's he want to talk about?
He gets really touchy-feely. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the asshole that walked in the door is suddenly really nice.
Sure, yeah.
And so we're, like, kind of just beaten children. You know, we're just a ragtag indie film.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
just doing it for the love, doing it for the passion. Yeah. Never expected yeah. it to be anything. Was going to give all the proceeds to Haiti. And
love Haiti.
And, you know, it's very up and down, so...
Yeah, it's really it is tough. And when Andy says let's talk, he really means let's have a massage. You know, like he gets because you no, said
I wasn't
he gets
gonna. I wasn't gonna bring
he gets
that up.
In there and he's sort of talking. And he's like, "Ooh, my shoulder's been killing me lately."
Yeah,
and he's like, "Can you get in there real quick?" Mm-hmm. And it's he's angling for a massage.
And if you do talk, he doesn't want you to actually.
No,
do
shush. That's all you get.
Tons of fucking on set.
Yeah, well, this is the crazy case? Thing.
Okay, this is what I thought.
Because, like, you've got Paul F. Tompkins and T.J. Miller in the same movie.
Pussy Hounds.
Pussy
Hounds.
I'm going, well, at what point would you get them to keep their pants on long enough to shoot this thing?
Right. And I know they have had a thing historically. And
I'm not going to touch that. I'm not touching that.
And that is so up and down.
You don't okay, know. Wait, are you well, getting into it? You get sued. I'm not, I didn't, Paul... TJ, I didn't say that. I didn't.
No. Nobody said anything, but anybody with their eyes open has seen there's something going on there.
Well, these guys, they don't see sex. They're like male, woman,
holes are holes,
twins.
When you are a PFT and you have been able to basically fuck anything that moves from the age of, I think, 6 or 7 years old. And it's always been an option. I think that the idea of just traditionally finding a beautiful woman to make love to becomes really boring, you know? And so then it's like, well, what's a challenge? A T.J. Miller, you know, somebody, or anyone, but, you know, a T.J. Miller, somebody who kind of keeps you at arm's length.
The Pussy Posse.
Mm-hmm. The Pussy Posse.
That's the Pussy Posse. I don't know who else is in it, but I know it's a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
They're the two main ones.
Yeah. It's TJ, PFT, DC.
DC Pearson,
yes.
Yeah. We've had Pearson. Most of them on.
Almost Dimitri, all of them have Dimitri.
Been on Dimitri.
Oh, God.
Crushes Puss.
Whoa. What a
and Adrian
vicious
Grenier. And Adrian Grenier.
Hound.
Adrian Grenier.
Sure. Adrian, sure, yeah. Although I think he's faking it.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I think so, too, actually, sometimes. Cause
I think he's faking his erections.
He's trying to get water to other countries, so let's leave him alone.
Leave the man alone. He just wants to find his daddy in a documentary, okay?
What was it like? You hear about working with Rob Corddry and how he doesn't – people don't – he doesn't think people know he's bald because his wig fell off a long time ago.
He came to the set with a wig. You're supposed to – yeah, well, that was what his manager said. Don't say anything about the wig. It's not a good wig. We lost the other one when he was – doing that Rock Mark Wahlberg movie, they lost it. It's not his fault. So what he's bringing
rocker,
is basically a dish towel, and you know you can't not but have your eyes go to the top of his head.
Yeah,
sure.
And he's just brushing it.
Well, and you have to edit around him, sort of pretending to like push his hair out of his eyes, which is a baffling thing to watch when there's no actual hair there.
Yes.
But physically, it's very strange how he keeps sort of stroking it behind his ears.
Uh-huh. And he twirls it when he's thinking and stuff.
Yeah, and he's twirling nothing.
Yeah, well, it looks like he's calling himself crazy, you know? He's sort of just making a circle with the finger next
which
to
is
his
funny.
Head.
It's funny to watch him do that.
It's funny, but it's not appropriate for the scene.
No.
Yeah.
Those guys are real cut up.
A lot of preparation,
all
too.
The different...
Rob does a lot of preparation.
Yeah, a lot of very long mirror exercises.
Sat in my kid's treehouse for a while, which I respect.
Yeah.
I really actually
just
do.
Getting back to nature like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jordan Rubin, he had like one line.
Mm-hmm.
And again, forever.
Yeah, weeks of rehearsals.
Yeah, past the pretzels, that was it.
Uh-huh.
And he's like pacing.
Which, by the way, that moment, I mean, it is one line, but it's sort of the emotional climax of the movie. I don't want to give anything away.
It's the fulcrum.
But everything is sort of building up to that.
That's right. That's right.
That
I'm glad you guys got that. Yeah, for sure. And my wife, she doesn't want me to be eating pretzels because of the salt, and I want to live my life my way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what the film was about.
How did your wife feel about you being married to Busy Phillips for 7 years for this movie?
Well, she didn't like it because we couldn't keep our hands off each other. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was hard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why they call her busy. Just busy hands.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she gets busy.
Yeah. I was pronouncing it buzzy for years.
Hey, you were?
Yeah.
Oh. Did you go to school?
Not traditional school, no.
Yeah.
He's homeschool?
Not traditional homeschool, no.
No.
Yeah.
And so what, like, were you raised in the woods?
Life is my school. Well, I'm a farm orphan, but I guess, like, the streets and street artists and that and sort of thing
did
was
you do
my
any hoboing?
Schooling.
Did you do any hoboing?
Hoboing?
Yeah.
Rail riding?
Rail riding, yeah.
Not traditional rail riding, no. Okay. But
you've been on a few trains.
I've been known to, yes.
You've been a part of a train.
I've held two pieces of a train together.
Sure.
It was coming apart. The latch had come undone, mm-hmm. and one piece of the train was going to go flying off the side of a cliff, and I held both sides together with my arm stretched out in between the train. I don't like to talk about it. I truly hate talking about it.
One of the things we did to get press for the movie, is, it reminds me of the train story, is we set up a couple of hero moments for some of the actors to be a part of. So
the Tom Cruise, yes.
Yeah, so like one of my kids' friends, I had him go out in the middle of the street, you know, and his bike went down the hill, and then we set it all up, and the car came, and then right at the last minute, I have Paul Scheer run in, grab him, save the kid, and it's all over the papers.
Sure.
It's great.
Yeah. And then, you know, he says.
Totally worked.
You know, I'm just a guy. The real hero is Jason Nash because he made this great movie.
Yeah. And you know Paul. He's so humble.
Yes.
He's such a good guy in that having him say that to the press, that it's really not a big deal.
Yeah.
And it worked.
It's sad. Like, you know, I heard about how, you know, he doesn't have much time left. And,
yeah.
It's I don't know you know how public that is, but
everybody knows that. I mean,
yeah.
Well, you can see. You can just look.
You can see it. Yeah, he's got
carpal tunnel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's spreading.
And the bad kind.
It's spreading really fast.
Because there's the good carpal tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
That's treatable.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the kind of carpal tunnel he has, which is like.
Mm-hmm. You can see it in the film. Yeah, he's like.
Oh yeah,
he's like a wolfman.
Both
wolfman
arms Jack. Up, doing like
he's
a wolfman pose all the time.
And I kept saying to him, "I said you gotta get that under control because it looks like you're the wolfman."
And you had to write in the wolfman stuff. I mean, you're trying to shoot him with a silver bullet or whatever, which I know initially was not part of the film, and it didn't make a ton of sense for the story.
But you know, you wanted Paul in the film, and that's why it took so long to save the kid.
I'm happy to hear that sort of was a workaround just to get Paul in it, because I did get really scared during that part of the movie, and I didn't know why you were doing that to me.
Yeah, well, it was an experiment. The whole thing was an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're mad scientists, aren't we, filmmakers?
Yes.
What films have you guys made?
Goof. Which ones haven't we made? That's the easier question.
I didn't get a chance to IMDb you guys, because I made one so far. And how many have you guys made?
You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it.
The experience of making one. I actually wish I could remember. You know, just like having made that one, that first one, where
what
it
was
seems
the best
like
part?
Where it seems like that movie is like so special.
Yes.
You know, it's like you really did something, like making one movie.
Yes.
And then once you do all the other ones, you think like, oh, that was so. You know, I was like a little boy back then.
What happened with the web series you guys tried to do? It. I had heard that you'd shot it all, and then
the internet wouldn't accept it.
Because it was radical.
It was at a place where, I think a few years down the line.
Is that like Bill Gates?
He wasn't happy.
We shopped it around.
The way it's portrayed, if that's what you're asking,
We shopped it around to different parts
of you
the
guys,
internet. And
it was just, you guys as, you ran a food truck? Is that what it was?
That was part of it, yeah.
We were running
sort
a food truck out of
early version of the movie Chef, if you saw Chef.
I saw Chef, yes.
Yeah.
I liked it very much.
It was a lot like that.
And now you watch it and it's like, oh, where'd they get that
idea? It's like, oh, where'd you get that idea?
Oh, food.
That, like,
I wonder where that sort of came from. But
and I actually thought that the sort of cooking
was almost a metaphor for filmmaking.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Can you speak on that, Jason?
Speak on that, please.
I love to eat. And I just love it. You know, I'm a food. Good. I'm a foodie.
Yes.
So if you put food in front of me, I say yeah. Yeah. And there's not many foods I don't like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what movies is for you.
Yeah, and that's what movies is.
I'm just talking about food, but and I like movies too.
What
like
about the recipe of the movie Jason Nash is married?
Yes.
Is it like if they say, you know, everyone says like dinner and a movie. But really, is it like dinner is a movie? Where
feast, a feast.
Yes. Yeah. Where say like you have all these different ingredients for Jason Nash is married and you're putting them together in a certain combination. So what
I like to think that a movie is like a chicken pot pie.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Jason Nash is married, you did something very interesting where Jason Nash is kind of the crust and the chicken and the peas and some of the sauce, you know. And then maybe Patton Oswalt's like a carrot.
Yeah. Most of the pie is me.
Yes.
You know, don't.
Right.
I mean, saying Patton is a carrot is generous. A small chopped carrot that's in a square.
Yes, not one of the main carrots.
Yeah, maybe a piece of carrot that wasn't meant to be in there and fell in.
It's accidentally in there. Maybe
it fell on the ground. Yes. And
the meat, the chicken, the sauce. The crust, the tin that the chicken pot pie is in, is me. And I'm not willing to give any of the other credit up.
Uh-huh. Well, Nick Swartzen, I guess, would be himself then, just looking at it and saying yummy. Just like rubbing his belly.
He's definitely not in the pie.
He's not in the pie. He's watching it from outside the window, and he's smelling the, you know. The,
tapping on the glass.
He's floating along on the scent of the chicken pot pie.
Yes, he starts sniffing, and then his head is sort of, his body levitates up, and then his nose sort of is leading him down the
and then
trail
I go,
of
and
scent.
And then I go,
And you shut the window on his his schnoz.
The other thing that's cool about making a movie, and I know you guys have made movies, and I don't know if you've done this, but like, what's awesome is you just like, if there's a girl that you want to make out with, just you put it on the page.
Yeah.
It's done. You know? You guys do that in your vines?
Well, we like to spend a little more time, you know. It doesn't take just 6 seconds to just like get to the point of making out with the
right.
In my it just the way
come,
I like to
come
do
in
it.
6 seconds is what you're saying, bud.
I need a little time. You know,
I get that.
I need a little time just to kind of
sure. 12.
This takes a very very long time to ejaculate for either one of us.
Well, when
the
you
process is pretty involved and
when you're in doubt,
not pleasant.
Yes, when you're in doubt a certain way, it's lucky. People say you know you're lucky to.
People describe it.
You're
as
blessed.
A gift.
They say, "Oh, you're blessed with a certain
physical structure,
equipment that you have." Mm. But along with that, it's like how when you're in space, time is relative.
I've been to space.
At certain
perfect.
So you know,
then you'll get this.
So things take longer in space because the scale is so much bigger.
I never came in space, though.
See, well, then you don't know.
Then I guess I haven't been to space.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it takes even longer.
That's what I like to say. You haven't been.
Air quotes.
Yes.
It takes even longer, yeah.
It does? That would be a good title for a movie.
What?
I came in space.
I came in space?
Jason Nash came in space.
Jason Nash came in space. That's
that works.
Mm-hmm.
And
works have you ever considered, now that this movie is out, licensing your name to other movie titles, which is a mutually beneficial
thing.
Sweet
little side business.
Yes. Because
Jason Nashformers.
Sure.
Like Gene Simmons does with Kiss. He's going to just cast Kiss now.
That's right.
Yeah. I just cast me.
Mm-hmm.
But then be standing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of with my hand under my chin, like, what's up, guys?
On stage with Kiss?
Yeah.
You're just like
Jason Nash's Kiss.
You're just a little bit in the background.
Yeah, and I could just walk on stage, give a wave, everyone goes berserk.
That might be what Kiss has been needing to push them over the edge, you know?
And go back to the Grey Goose bar, which is sponsored by Grey Goose.
Because Kiss has this very cool indie thing going.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't ever fully hit the mainstream, and it might be Jason Nash sort of leaning on his chin. yeah. at the back of the stage. Maybe there's a stool nearby. That could really be the final piece of the puzzle for that group.
I saw Grizzly Bear and Kiss together.
Oh, were they doing a show together?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
That's a good ticket.
Kiss went on first.
Yeah, I was going to say, who opens yeah. and something like that. Yeah. How did you choose? You're making this movie. People are coming, you know, does Paramount come to you and 20th and stuff like that? Like, how do you choose between all your different, your suitors?
Well, they none of them wanted to do it. I mean, no.
Well, then how is it a movie?
Yeah.
Well, we just did it. I just did it independently. Like, I just got some money together and shot it.
Okay. Okay.
What's the front? You know how you need to show something at the very beginning
title
of the
card,
movie?
Like
yes.
The title card?
Yes. Right. That's what it's, yes.
Right. So, but what
the
do
title
you do?
Card is just my production company. That's it. Okay. That's all it says.
And is that called Paramount or Warner Brothers? Or?
Well, they didn't. Paramount had nothing to do with the movie, guys. And Warner Brothers. Like, there can be movies. Okay. How do I explain this? It's like, I understand that you guys are used, you grew up with movies and you're used to seeing the title card.
Yes.
That says DreamWorks.
It's a lion. Or it's a mountain.
Or the mountain.
Or a woman. A sexy woman who's like dressed in kind of like a
Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, like a flowing robe. Yes. And it just gets you in kind of a sexual mood to watch your movie.
That's when that company put out that movie. So if the Lion Company.
Right. That we understand.
If the Lion put out the movie.
Lion's Gate.
Yeah, that's right. Then the Lion would be in front of it. And just like if the Mountain put out the movie.
Paramount.
If Paramount put it out. But for mine, and I want you to listen closely.
Okay.
None of the Mountain didn't have anything to do with it. Uh-huh. The Lion didn't have anything to do with it. The Kid Fishing for a Rainbow, for a Moon, didn't have anything to
and
do with
this
it.
And this is where you lose me. Because there's a step in between there that I'm just not following. I'm sorry, Jason. And we have plenty of time.
Yes, we have all day. And it's just you keep using this word movie, but then at the same time.
Yes, I have children, and it's a Saturday. But I do want to get this point across. Give me a second. Let me try and explain it again.
It's the word movie, I think, that I'm sort of
I think
of,
that's
like,
what's bumping me, right, too. Right. I think that's the bump for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's not call it a movie.
Great.
Let's just say it's a video.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's a perfect example. When you guys made a video on Funny or Die and it only got like 75 views.
Yeah.
Okay. Was Paramount?
Well, for that it would be Paramount Vantage.
Was Paramount Vantage on the front of your Funny or? It was?
Yes.
For that, it would
I
be
Vantage. They
were the production company,
Paramount funded your Funny or Die movie?
Sony Classics distributed, and Paramount, yes, they put up the
Searchlight was also
sniffing around.
Mm-hmm.
I would bet both my children that if I went on Funny or Die right now,
did they let you on that, Jason?
I have my own. What?
Is it your own? Are you?
You have your own Funny or Die.
You have your own Funny or Die password.
Your own Funny or Die that just you sort of are messing around in.
Funny or Die came to me and they said you can have your own channel and we'll take the ad revenue and it's your own channel. And I said, great. So
I wonder if that was just a way to keep you off of the main site. Have you ever considered that?
I'm on Funny or Die, too.
Okay.
Is that what you mean? Is that different?
Well, I just wonder if they want... Because I know they're pretty picky about who is allowed to look at their main site.
You're not even talking about being a content creator.
I'm talking about you being able to actually look at it.
Like I'm behind a firewall?
Yeah, well, I wonder if you say, like,
well,
can I look at...
Well, they reroute you to this other Funny or Die, which sounds like a blast. And I just would... And I, you know, you must be having a lot of fun poking around on that thing.
If you come to them and say, like, can I watch your videos? And they say, like, how about this? Why don't you just have your own site where you can, like, sort of a separate but equal arrangement?
I think that's kind of a nice way of saying, no, you can't see our main videos.
Here's the people that I see on my Funny or Die, on Funny or Die 2. Tony Danza, Judith Light.
It sounds great.
Eric McCormick.
Okay.
Old Ben Vereen.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
the guys that were in Dukes of Hazzard have a lot of stuff on there.
Okay.
The
Sean
original
Scott and
original, yeah. Oh, original okay. dudes.
Wow.
Come on.
Oh, not, good.
Not Vance and Coy?
No, no, yeah, no. Okay. But it is weird that you bring it up because I've never seen Will Ferrell on there. I never seen Zach Galifianakis on there. And now that you mention it, it's a little weird.
That's what I would do.
That's what it sounds like. Yes, and that is something that we've done
there.
When people want to listen to this podcast. And
sure,
we'll go like, well, wouldn't it be more fun to have your own podcast? Mm-hmm. And we sort of have them listening to themselves or who's the boss reruns. Like it sounds like what you're doing.
You guys watch the movie, and one of the things I feel really guilty about, and even coming in here today because you guys were so nice to have me, I feel guilty that you guys aren't. I'm just going to come clean. Mm. You're not in the movie. I feel bad about that. Is there any tension here that you're not?
Well, I appreciate you coming clean about that because I was under the impression that I am in the movie.
We watched.
Did you shoot anything for that?
Well, when you're watching it, there's a reflection of us that you can sort of see on the screen at all times.
I have to say, this is off the oddest podcast I've done during. Because
my character, I was calling my character the Watcher.
Yeah.
And he sort of was like, you know, presiding over it and just faintly, like,
you can
half
just see
his
their
face
faint,
was
like, after
coming
image.
Back out of the screen, especially when there were scene transitions and the screen got dark. Then, really clearly, you
almost
could see
like
the Watcher
this.
Reflected
so you
back.
Did see yourself in the movie and you consider being in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then I guess I don't feel so bad.
Mm-hmm. Because you did put us in and you were wrong about what you said before.
Do you guys do movies in the mirror? Just hold.
What's that? Is that
you wake up in the morning and you just like you're brushing your teeth and then
you just do a whole
like a good like 40, two, like a 45 minute movie. Like you call in sick,
right? Well, that'd be
or call in late.
That's a pretty short movie, Jason. A 45 minute movie.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't have time for an hour and a half every morning. Mm-hmm. Some on Saturdays and Sundays, I'll do a movie in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what? And I play all the parts.
Do you want to do one right now?
Oh yeah, I'd love to.
Hey, you got to listen to me. We got 2 days to get this truckload of groceries across country. Mm-hmm. And if it don't happen, Frank's going to be mad.
Mm-hmm.
Lights a cigarette. Mm-hmm. So which one of this crew is going to step forward and make this happen?
Mm-hmm. Oh, me! I am the part of the crew. I'm the small guy. I'm Asian, 4 feet tall. I can be very small and fit in boxes or maybe go through the air shaft. And I'm the nerd. I'm the guy that's going to do all the tech work so we can crack the security code.
And I'm the tough guy. I'm the brawn. If anybody comes, tries to get these vegetables, pow-pow.
And I'm the black guy. I'm the guy that's smooth talking, and if we need to talk to a lady, I can talk to her.
And I'm the old guy. I've been around the block, but I can show you guys a couple of things about stealing more vegetables and diamonds.
We're not stealing diamonds, Albert. We're moving produce.
Get up, get on up, get up, get on up, taste it, get on up.
So Jason, I loved your movie in the mirror. I have a couple quick notes. Could the crew have more guys?
It's a. You didn't let me finish.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I assumed that when the music started, that all the cruise guys had been.
It feels like some races are actually a little underrepresented.
Yes.
In the movie right now.
I got an Asian and a black in there. Come on.
We just want to be able to sell it to, like, you know, a lot of movies are global now.
Yeah, it's a big international market, and just
it would just help to have.
He's got to get the crew together. He's got to get the crew back together.
Okay.
You know,
so that's
Vinny.
Coming down the pike.
Vinny's Italian, and he's got to get the crew back together for one more heist. And Sherry Shepherd is his love interest. And she's...
That's a big pull.
She's sassy as shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? She walks in, and she's like... He's like, hey, y'all! If y'all gonna be trying to move produce, y'all better use your heads! Bunch of fucking morons in here! Look at this one! Asian! Kid!
can't even see a bag of rice. Look at this one. Black brother, always dating white people. And look at this old piece of ass. His dick's so shrinkly, he ain't ever gonna get nowhere in life.
And she just, you know, busts up on... She busts up on all the guys.
And then what does she say?
And then she, you know, she takes Vinny and she's like, you are the most gorgeous man I've seen in my entire life.
And then what do they do?
And they start kissing. And he's like, yeah, I know, and you're gorgeous too. And then all of a sudden the nerd breaks into the casino.
This is a Jewish guy? I just want to...
The nerd?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, I'm just...
Yeah, super, yeah, okay, super, yeah, Jew.
Okay.
And right as they're about to kiss, it goes, meek, 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 meek. And the old guy goes, Wong
is caught inside. He's caught inside the casino, inside where all the gold bars are.
And then he's like, hey, black girl. That's his pet name for her, and she's okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, all right, this kiss is going to have to wait.
Yeah. The way your movie just kind of, just like the effect of gradually circling Ocean's 11.
What's the movie? What's the movie?
You haven't seen this movie, Ocean's 11?
Never.
That's amazing.
Okay. I've heard of it.
What you're talking about is sort of almost a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, Ocean's 11, like adjacent story.
It's like in orbit around Ocean's 11, just gradually getting closer and closer to becoming the movie Ocean's 11, which you have not seen.
Never saw it.
Oh, wow.
But if it's a lot of movies are similar.
That is true. A lot of movies are similar. Do you want to speak on that?
They made two movies about From the Blind Side.
Mm-hmm.
There's two separate movies. There's one with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. And the Al Pacino one where he's
in drag.
He's smelling women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're a good football player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Radio.
But you got to come live with me.
I think that was called Radio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he can't see. He can only...
That's a good film.
He can only hear radios.
Yeah. Ed Harris.
Yes, the train driver from Snowpiercer.
I like when Ed Harris...
That's a big spoiler.
I like when Ed Harris stands up and, you know, stands up in front of the whole town and he's like, radio will drive the bus. He will drive the bus full of school children.
Yeah.
And
I don't know.
It's really powerful.
I don't know.
It's an inspirational story about a disabled man who all he wants to do is be able to drive school children around and how you should be allowed to do whatever you want no matter what.
I hate the way we limit people and go like, oh, you can't do this because you're not, but the twist it's not at the safe end, to have you do it.
The twist at the end where they thought he wanted to be a school bus driver, but he was actually saying scuba diver, but like the way he talks... It's like so weird. So he's like, I want to be
And it was a movie about a weird guy in many ways because a lot of what he's doing is pretty weird. And I liked that.
It's different. Yes. He's very different than everybody else.
Yeah. I love movies about weird guys because they've done a few.
Yeah.
And it's always so interesting to me to look at a truly weird guy.
When you play weird, too, you get the Academy comes out for weird.
Yes.
They nominate a lot of weirdos, a lot of weirdies get that nod because to truly capture the physicality and mind of a weird guy.
Go full weird. That's what they call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going full weird.
Mm-hmm. You get more pussy that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you just sort of use, you know, pussy posse. Someone says something at the beginning of a show, you know you've done
podcasts. At the beginning
of a
show,
somebody says, and then you cycle all the way back.
And give then, it some time, and then you just wait. And around the time that you feel like maybe you're running out of steam, you just say the thing from
you
the
beginning. You
mention
the thing from the beginning, and then people say, I remember that. And there's no better feeling than listening to something and remembering something
there's
from the beginning.
Funnier than feeling smart because you remember something that someone said before. And I always try to create that for my audience. Mm-hmm. And so it is about time to wrap it up, you know, just because we have pulled that move out, and that's sort of the last rabbit in the hat, so to speak.
This is great. This has been really great, guys.
It's been
Thank
so great
so
to have
much
you, Jason.
Thank you so much for joining us.
I can't wait to watch my movie and see you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to like it.
In sort of a Three Men and a Baby kind of way, when everybody saw that ghost,
Yeah, the kid with the shotgun hiding next to the window. Holy fucking shit.
I guess that's how you guys appear.
Holy fucking shit.
Talk about a bone-chilling movie experience.
My stomach dropped. I mean, the bottom dropped out, you know?
Yeah.
Straight through the floor.
Yeah.
Bone-chilling is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Please rate us on iTunes and talk to us on our forums.
Like us on Facebook rate us on iTunes.
On Facebook. I think Mean Detective bought the pro version.
Mean Detective bought the pro version.
Of
and
the podcast
as
this week.
As a gift.
You get a role in a movie. It's Jason Nash's mirror movie.
Mm-hmm, you get a role in Jason Nash's mirror movie. So just go ahead and give us a quick preview, Jason, of the Mean Detective.
For Mean Detective.
What he's going to be doing in this next movie.
Oh, when the guy playing Mean Detective in my movie?
This guy's name is Mean Detective.
Oh, this is a
bought
listener?
The pro version. Yeah,
oh, this is a listener. Form, brought the pro
listener. He bought the pro version. Oh. And as a prize, he's going to be in the movie.
Oh, okay. Well, he's probably, he's going to play Spanish dude.
That's one, probably. That's really good. And that's something we've been missing from
it's
this
a big
movie.
Market.
Yes.
And he races cars. So he's like,
yes, the NASCAR.
The group is in trouble. Sherry Shepherd's talked them down, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden the garage door from the garage that where they're playing opens up and it goes, and then in walks Javi, and Javi's like, "What kind of cars are we talking about?" Like that, and everybody's like, "Oh, we forgot about Javi," and he's like, "Lamborghini, Porsche." Ferrari, and I hope your friend can do Spanish accent. And
he's not our friend. Bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.
That was a HeadGum podcast.